The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Is a debut novel by Siobhan McGowan. It depicts a young working class woman who's attacked and raped by a wealthy so-called gentleman. Her brave father wants to seek justice at the Old Bailey in London alongside her barrister, who she believes to be her ally. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but to talk about her debut novel, Siobhan McGowan joins me now. Siobhan, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you.
It's been a while. I think we were in the green room of the Late Late Show when we last met.
I think so. It was many moons ago.
Yeah, Shane and your mum and dad were there,
right.
And we probably had a right old session after the show.
Probably.
So tell me, at this stage in your life, and no spring chicken, I'm not being insulting when I say this, to discover a writing voice, mm-hmm. is it something you've always wanted to do?
Absolutely. It's a story that I now tell, is that when I was 7 years old, I had a vision of myself putting up a book on a shelf and it had my name on the spine. And I always wanted to do it. I always wanted to be an author. And in fact, so much so that I did leave school. I was working at the Kent and Sussex Courier. I was doing copywriting. I did some freelance music journalism. So I was writing. But when I was in England, when you're 20, if you want Irish citizenship, you have to apply before you're 21 for your passport. So I did that. And they asked me what my occupation was. And I put writer. And I wasn't, because I knew that's
so
what I was going to do.
In your heart, you have always been a writer.
Absolutely.
Now, the pair of you growing up in your household, Shane and yourself, now, your mum and dad both were mad about books.
Yes, absolutely.
What did your mum read? What kind of stuff did she read?
She read Graham Greene. She read Thomas Hardy. She read loads of Charles Dickens. Dickens was her absolute favourite.
And your dad?
He'd be like Beckett, George Bernard Shaw, James Joyce, the great Irish writers.
Mm. Now, the two of you, as children, were you writers? I mean, what sort of stuff were you writing? Were you writing with each other or against each other?
Well, we were both writing and drawing, actually. We drew a lot and we wrote a lot. Myself, I was messier than Shane. I used to write and draw all over my bedroom walls. He was, believe it or not, Shane was tidier in those days than me, believe it or not. But we did, when we were going to Holyhead, I remember very famously, we'd go to Holyhead in the car. We'd sit in the back of the car, cover ourselves with a blanket, and he'd be in his corner, I'd be in my corner, and be writing and writing and writing in our books. I mean, writing little stories, like just little stories, and drawing characters, caricatures and things like that.
But it's extraordinary the number of children who would never do that. You know, that's the last thing they would do, would be to write and create. And maybe with screens and all that, it's harder for them to do it
these
days.
That is true.
Yeah.
I did remember saying to Mum when I discovered that later, I said, God, we must have been quite easy children. She said, you were fantastic. She said, all we had to do, we gave you the books and pencils and drawing. That was it.
So eventually we roll on through quite a few careers. You mentioned the music industry and so on, and you have a permanent home now. You're in Tipperary.
Yes.
That's where you live. So the idea of actually, and when I look at the book, it's a big fat book. It's a bit daunting to sit down and set out to write something like this.
Well, actually, what you have to do, I think, if you're writing a book, is you don't look at the whole book. It's like if you're running a marathon, you don't look at the whole marathon. You look at your training schedule for that day. So I tend to take it chapter by chapter, but I do have a long term. I know where I'm going. So I know how it ends, and I know how it begins, and I know more or less what the story is. But I take it chapter by chapter.
So you have the narrative from beginning to end, the broad outlines
outline.
Of what is going to happen to your characters. It is very evocative of a period. We're talking about early 20th century London.
Yeah.
And that is the area you write about is one that you're utterly familiar with.
Totally. The London that Lotta Ray comes from as a little girl is the one I did. She comes from Spitalfields, which is an area in the East End, just outside the square mile city of London. And when I was 8 years old, I was living in the Barbican, which is on the London Wall, the Roman Wall, square mile city of London. And it was under construction at that time. It's a very famous building now with the Barbican Arts Centre and everything, but they were building all that at that time.
Yeah, I mean, it's solid concrete, the Barbican.
It is. It's a concrete jungle, to be honest, you know. To be quite honest, Mum wasn't very happy there. And
I've been inside the Barbican. I think I saw Les Mis in the Barbican with Colin Wilkinson.
Yeah.
And the theatre itself was fabulous inside.
Yes, fabulous.
The outside was like a bunker from World War II.
No, I absolutely agree with you, Pat. And still people kind of want to live there. It's a bit of a mystery. My dad loved it, but my dad was fascinated with Roman history. So I think that's what really attracted him. But the interesting thing about it was, I don't know what you felt about it, but I felt the atmosphere of the place had a haunted feel. It feels odd.
It's in the middle of a city, but it somehow is a lonely place.
It's lonely, isn't it? It has a kind of insulated feeling. So we used to say that it had that feeling because they had dug up all the bodies of the plague victims, you know, that it was haunted, basically. But that's the area that Lotta comes from. So that's the area I was very familiar with.
Now, how much do you borrow from fact? I mean, you mentioned it's part of the scene, as it were, the Whitbread Brewery. Yeah. That's real.
That was real. When I was a little girl, it was still there, the Whitbread Brewery, and they were still using the old white dray horses. So on my way to school, I would stop at the Whitbread Arch, which features a lot in the book, and the horses and carts would come out with the barrels and I could smell the hops, and the buildings were all red brick. So they were all very like they would have been now. And the interesting thing is, so I'm talking about 1971. And I think, and now, so that's like 50 years ago. So we weren't talking about, it was quite recent history. It was the last 50 or 60 years, because my book spans from 1906 to 1919.
Yeah. And it's not so long, I mean, it's certainly in my lifetime, since the Guinness Brewery had drays delivering casks of stout and ale around Dublin City. And
exactly.
Of course, they were replaced by the automobile and the truck. But also, in your novel, we're spanning the horse-drawn carriage age with the age of the automobile.
Yeah, the motor car.
It's just arriving on the scene.
It's just arriving. And in fact, Judge William Lyndon, who was once the barrister in it, is in the motor car. He's not in the motor car, he's in the carriage.
And he swears
he'll never get in one of those, the ruination of all London. But he wasn't wrong.
Now, tell us as much of the narrative as you want to share, because it is about a rape and that happens early enough in the book. So I'm not giving a spoiler when
not
I
at
say
all.
That.
No. OK, so it's Lotta Ray, as I told you, is the woman in the book, and she works at the Whitbread Brewery and so does her father. And it's there that she meets her nemesis. It's there that the man who is going to rape her, Henry Allen Griffiths, meets her, and she's raped on Halloween night. And her father is incensed. She's incensed, but her father is a believer in justice. He's an idealist. And Lotta herself believes in her father, believes in the goodness of people. So she's devastated by this. And they bravely take the case to court.
And this is a powerful man who was accused.
He's a very powerful man. He's an investor in the Whitbread Company. He's a lobbyist in Parliament. They had to take the case because it had become the talk of Fleet Street. So justice had to be seen to be done. So they took the case. They allowed them to take the case. And Lotta is appointed William Lyndon as her barrister. And within that case, William Lyndon does something that perhaps he should not do.
And we say no more than that, because that is the twist, and that is what leads on to the episodes that follow in the book. It's quite cinematic, and you wonder, you know, is there a London there that could reproduce the scenes that you have painted in words in your book?
Yeah, it's interesting. When I went back recently, a lot of my red brick London had gone, and in its place were a lot of glass skyscrapers and things. So it's interesting you say that, although there are areas around Moorgate and that look very much the same to me still. So you probably can find something.
What sort of reception had you had to your book so far?
I have had so movingly a beautiful reception. I have had people tell me how much it's moved them. It's moved them to tears. I've had people tell me they can't get their head out of that world. They're so completely immersed in her story and her world. It's actually been so moving, the reception that I've had.
I presume you are going to continue.
Oh, I am. In fact, my second book is safely in the hands of my publishers now, and that book will be set in Dublin around 1911, and it will span 1911 to 1916 and take in the Rising as well. So I'm coming home for that one.
You don't make it easy for yourself.
No, I really don't.
Big events, big canvas,
I know, huge tapestry.
Well, it is absolutely fantastic. The blurb on the book includes, on the front cover from Donal Ryan, no less, a masterclass in storytelling.
Yes, I love that.
That is some endorsement. Yeah. Well, it's called The Trial of Lotta Ray. It's published by Welbeck, and its author, Siobhan McGowan. Thank you, Siobhan, very much for joining us in studio
today. Thank you so much, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News.